If you've ever looked into Nix and tried to understand what it even is, because declarative builds and deployments doesn't really give you much to go off of. You probably landed in their docs and then realized that this adds zero clarity to what you're trying to understand about Nix. Nix can be used in so many different situations, like a shell or flakes or even a whole operating system. So in this video, I'm gonna give you a little bit of an introduction to the Nix shell, Nix flakes, and Nix OS, the benefits of them, and kind of when you might wanna use each of these things, because I don't think everyone has necessarily a use case for Nix OS, but Nix shell can still be very valuable. A lot of developers also just end up using Nix flakes a lot and no other features of Nix. Let me jump into that in this video. First things first, I started off with Nix shell. I probably worked with this maybe a year and a half to 2 years ago for the first time. And this was because I was trying to create an environment to test bugs. And at the time I was working for a terminal tooling company. So I didn't want to have any environment variables set or any other dependencies that could influence the results that I was getting. I found that in this case, it was much simpler than running a Docker container for that specific use case. So Nix shell is a great way to get an intro to the Nix environment and some of the value that you can get from Nix. I'll often use this for different packages that I want to test out, but I'm not 100% sure if I want to keep them installed on my system globally. It's also a really helpful way that you can just use different tools as needed without having them installed on your machine all of the time. Nix flakes are kind of the next step up from the Nix shell. This is when you'd be able to create a development environment or a shell session that has all of the different packages and dependencies that you might want. These would be defined in your Nix flake, and you typically basically start that session with the command Nix develop. I think that this is great in programming environments because this means that all of the developers that are working on a specific tool have a consistent system and a consistent set of dependencies that they have. There's no more dealing with the excuse of it works on my machine for an entire team. It also means that it's very easy to get productive in a project right off the bat. There's very little onboarding, very little setup that you need to do for your system to be able to work on that repo. You pretty much just need to install Nix, run Nix develop, and you're good to go. You can have the programming language defined. You can have whatever dependencies you might need for that project completely defined and controlled with a Nix flake. A lot of Nix users prefer to keep dependencies off of their global system. A lot of Nix users will have their programming language just defined in their Nix flake instead of having it globally installed on their machine. In my case, I'm fine to have my programming language installed globally, as much as that might be a taboo for people who really like to lean into the composability of Nix. So I'm kind of doing a bit of an anti-pattern with that one, but I'm fine with it and it works great. But we can also jump into some of the reasons why people prefer the composable nature of using Nix flakes rather than having anything related to software development installed on their system. Nix OS is kind of the next level up from using flakes. Flakes can give you a preview of the convenience of being able to have all of your dependencies clearly defined in a single file, while Nix OS is basically that same experience, but for your entire operating system. There are, of course, some downsides to this, as nice as it sounds. So I'll jump into the benefits, the downsides, my personal setup, and hopefully that can give you an idea of whether or not Nix might be a good addition to your workflow. Now, some of the benefits for Nix is that you have complete visibility on everything that's installed in your system. I'd say for me as a live streamer and a content creator, a lot of people like to ask what tools I use for different things. So it's really nice to just be able to point them to my configuration.nix file and they can see my browser. They can see how I have my Emacs set up, any other tools that I like to use. Everything is in my configuration.nix file. Super easy for me to reference. Another thing that can be kind of annoying about other operating systems is sometimes you install software and you either forget that it's installed and then it just kind of, you know, takes up space, or you uninstall it and you're just like hoping that it uninstalls everything that you need it to uninstall. So I do like how like clean cut everything is when you're using Nix OS. Another huge benefit to using Nix OS is that you have your configuration.nix file and that can apply to any machine that has NixOS installed. So if I get a new work machine and I want it to be identical to my other setup, I can just copy my configuration.nix. I can even just make tweaks to it if I want, but I can just have basically a clone of that exact same machine on new hardware. Now let's get into some of the downsides of NixOS. If a package isn't included in Nix packages, it is a complete pain to get set up. This one is a huge problem. However, I will say there are a ton of Nix packages, so this isn't something that I've encountered very frequently, but every once in a while, I'll get something and it's just a binary and I can't just install that. There is a whole workaround for that. Another downside is that you can easily get locked into the Nix ecosystem. And I'll touch on this a little bit more when I talk about my specific setup, because I have tried to avoid this like the plague, especially because so much of my audience, I'm assuming, isn't using Nix, and I want them to still be able to use any of my .dot files and any of my configurations without being forced to use Nix. Another thing to keep in mind with NixOS is that it can be a bit of a hassle for dependencies as well. So for example, when I was getting Sway set up, I think that there were a lot of issues that I ran into because Nix had no defaults. It doesn't have a lot of the same underlying dependencies or packages that come installed by default in, say, Ubuntu that Sway needs to be able to run cleanly. Nix is a lot more explicit, which means that there's a lot more room for user error when you're trying to get started with something new. Now, let's talk a little bit about my setup. I mentioned my .dot file management. So I am actually still using GNU Stow for all of my .dot file management. You can completely configure everything with Nix. Like you can have your Emacs setup or your NeoVim setup done entirely in the Nix language. I've steered clear of that because I want it to be usable by other people. And most people are not using Nix. Despite most people not being on NixOS, I do know that Nix flakes are still incredibly helpful. And those are kind of one thing that I would consider a non-negotiable for any programming projects that I'm now doing. I think they have to have a flake because that consistency that it allows for is outstanding. But I don't want people to have to install Nix just to be able to copy some stuff from my .dot files. So I think potentially, if I was using purely a Nix system, so like a lot of people will use Home Manager on macOS and just have every single part of their setup defined with Nix, which also is a language, okay, the Nix language. So they have everything defined with Nix and that just works for them. I have trust issues with Home Manager. I've heard some horror stories of it going wrong, people having to reinstall macOS, reinstall their operating system because they rebuilt Home Manager and everything just like collapsed. I've also heard that it's not as smooth of an experience as, say, using NixOS directly. I haven't found enough of a compelling reason to try Home Manager. I'll share some stories about Home Manager more in detail, and you can make your own decision on whether or not that's something you want as part of your setup. We, of course, also need to talk about Emacs. So with Emacs, I actually have to use Emacs Overlay to get it to build with Nix. Part of the reason for this is because if I just have the Emacs package installed and I'm not using Emacs Overlay, Nix will actually try to rebuild Emacs from scratch every single time I run NixOS rebuild switch, which can make it take so long to rebuild my system. And for my Emacs config, I do actually still like to handle all of my package management and everything through Emacs, instead of having everything Nixified on that front. And again, it's because I do jump between Linux and macOS. Honestly, I feel like I'm fine with that workflow. Maybe if I was having to jump around more machines or I had maybe more packages installed that I really depended on, I just personally don't find it enough of a headache or a hurdle for me to manage my packages through the Emacs package installer to justify me moving that to Nix. I hope this video gave you a way that you can kind of dip your toes in the water with Nix, get some level of familiarity with what Nix offers so that when you look at the docs, it's a little bit less intimidating and can give you a bit of a jumping off point with Nix Shell or Nix Flakes. Do let me know in the comments if you use Nix and what your favorite features are about Nix, and I will see you in a future video. Goodbye for now. Thank you so much for watching. Don't forget to like and subscribe if you want to support my channel.